Once a year, Christendom celebrates a very important day. In fact, it's probably the most important day. It is the most important day of our calendar because Jesus rose from the dead. But the real question that we want to tackle this morning is, why did Jesus have to die and then rise again? Well, what's that all about? Well, maybe at a fairly young age, some would imagine that they have it figured out. Maybe they think, well, they did something wrong, which they thought was brilliant, but some authority person didn't, and there were consequences that were unpleasant. And most of us see ourselves as fairly angelic. You know, look in the mirror and think, what a nice person we are. And so, no doubt, Jesus sees us the same way, and so he took our unpleasant circumstances for us. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about why Jesus really did come and die and rise again. You see, God created a very perfect world, and in that perfect world, he also created a paradise garden, and he placed Adam and Eve in it. Now, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Now, the question is, what is the image of God? Is he Caucasian? Or maybe he's Asian with slanted eyes. Or maybe he has brown skin. Or maybe red skin. Maybe he's a redhead. Jesus told us, God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so when God created us in his own image, he created us with a spirit being. Aha! Which is a key because we sometimes presume life as being one-dimensional, physical life. But life as God created it was two-dimensional, physical life and spiritual life. Now, the Lord also in the garden placed a tree. And in that, he told Adam and Eve, you can eat of every tree in the garden except this one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat of that tree, for in the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Oh, that's kind of tough language, isn't it? Surely die. But man, Adam and Eve, ate of that tree. Disobedience separated sinful man from a holy God. So, but we ask ourselves, well, hold it. We seem to think that because man didn't instantly die, that physically, that maybe everything was okay. But Adam and Eve did die. They died spiritually, instantly. All of a sudden, something was askew inside. They died spiritually at that moment. And then they began to die physically. Mankind became the walking dead. Ha ha! Life all of a sudden turned dark inside. And things weren't like they used to be. Now, you and I think we're alive, but don't realize that something's dead inside. God, the light of God, turned off inside of us. And mankind lives with a God-shaped vacuum inside of us. It's become our family's norm, our neighborhood's norm. In fact, everyone in our culture, we're dead inside to God because of sin. Now, even very nice people, even religious people, are actually dead to God. Now, I brought with me a lamb. Do you see him here? In fact, I have two lambs, one there, one here. Now, these lambs are quite religious lambs. I've had them for quite some time. I have never heard them cuss. They never get angry, even if I sit on them. In fact, they always just do nice things. When I sit down to do my devotions, they're right there keeping me warm. When I pray, they're often right there with me praying too. Well, at least they're right there with me. They keep me warm at night. Whoa. I mean, they're very, in fact, I even brought them to church this morning to show you that lambs and people can go to church but still be dead inside. You see, this lamb became, lamb soup. It doesn't breathe a whole bunch anymore. I don't hear it making any noises at night when I'm trying to sleep because it's dead. Now, that's what happened to us as people. Now, we can go to church all we want and still be dead inside. We can do all the religious things we want to do, but still be dead inside. Remember, God made us two parts, spiritual and physical. Now, we can still see the physical part of the lamb, but I can guarantee you, it's dead. And the same way with you and I. We can still see us, but unless we've discovered and found and allowed God to come inside us again to make us alive, we're dead inside. Grandma's dead, grandpa's dead, our uncles and aunts are dead, unless they know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That's why Jesus told a religious leader of his day, you must be born again. What was he talking about? He was telling this religious leader who hadn't quite figured it out yet, who had been to church an awful lot in his life, but hadn't figured out that God made us two parts, spiritual and physical. And unless you're born spiritually as well as physically, you don't know God. You might know about him. You might have a whole bunch of religious things that you do. You might even pray a lot. But unless God is born in you, you're still dead spiritually. You see, all of mankind became hopelessly separated from God via this, let's call it a birth defect, being born separated from God. Now, there's all sorts of odd things about people. Some people have bowed legs. Some people have knobby knees, all sorts of things. But you and I, every human since Adam and Eve, were born dead inside. Now, we still look pretty handsome and cute, warm and fuzzy, and people still love to hug us, and we love to be hugged. But we're dead inside without God. Well, the Bible says we are all by nature children of wrath. In other words, separated from God. In fact, the psalmist David said, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, Adam and Eve realized shortly thereafter that something had gone wrong inside. Their eyes were open, and they could see that they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and to make coverings for themselves, and then they hid from God. Now, this didn't actually catch God by surprise. It's not as if God thought, what happened? When he called out, Adam, where are you? It's not that he didn't know where Adam was or he had lost Adam. No, he knew where Adam was. He was giving Adam and Eve the opportunity to confess to him, you know what? I just died inside. And I need you to give me life again. Now, prophetically, right there in this exchange, we have the first prophetic note of a Savior. Listen to it. This is in Genesis. It says, I will put, God speaking, actually to the serpent. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offsprings and hers. And here it comes. And he will crush your head. Talking about Jesus crushing the head of the serpent, and you will strike his heel. Talking about the cross for Jesus. Now, though God never intended man to sin, his salvation plan of Christ's death and resurrection was never plan B. Whoops, man sinned. I better come up with another plan. No, it was always his plan. Listen to this. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, the Lamb of God, who was slain from the creation of the world. Way back in the very beginning, right back at creation, God already had it figured out. Jesus was going to come and die and then be rose again so that you and I can have. And then that first record of bloodshed prophetically demonstrated God's salvation plan. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Genesis 3:21. You see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, that's God's part. But then there's our part. Remember the story of Noah? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I won't sing the rest of the song. Okay. So, Noah found grace in God's eyes. Now, this is the first appearance of grace in the Bible. In other words, grace, God is revealing his salvation plan of how we can come to have eternal life. Noah lived in an intolerable, wicked era. And yet, in that time, he found grace in God's sight. You see, now, the word found is an active verb. He was actually looking for God's grace. He was actually looking for forgiveness and relationship with God. And as he looked for it, he found it. We jump ahead a couple thousand years. Israel had been in Egypt for eons as slaves. And now God says, I am going to redeem you. I'm going to save you out of slavery and bring you into the promised land. Another type, if you were, of God's salvation. And he says, this is what I want you to do. On the 14th day of Abib, which is going to be the first month for you. Set Abib, that's the name of the month, down as your first month. And on the 14th day of that month, I want you all to take a lamb. A precious lamb who had done nothing wrong. And I want you to make lamb stew out of it. And then I want you to take the blood and put the blood on the doorposts of your house. Now, it was a decision. Every household could do this or not. Even the Egyptians could do this or not. But on every house where the doorposts and lintels was not blood, the death angel would visit that house. And every house where the blood was spread, then the death angel would pass over that house. It's the type of you and I accepting Christ's blood as our salvation. It was a choice that everyone got to make. You see, it's impossible, actually, for the blood of bulls and goats and lambs to cleanse us from sin. And so Jesus came. He is the Passover lamb. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And Christ died on twilight on the 14th day of Abib, the exact time that Passover happened. You see, he said, I give life to the dead. Life to the dead. That means you don't have to be physically dead. We're all spiritually dead. He gives life to each of us who are spiritually dead and makes us alive in him. He says, I have come that they might have life. You know, most of us kind of thought before we became a Christian, we were alive, but we were only alive physically, not spiritually. And he comes to make us alive and that we might have it more abundantly, beyond measure, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever know. You see, if spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He will quicken, make alive our mortal bodies. Whew! How exciting. And that's why Jesus came and died and rose again, so that we wouldn't just be walking around as skins, but we'd be alive, physically and spiritually. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, today as we honor your resurrection, we pray for new life for everyone who is here, that everyone would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they wouldn't just be alive physically, but they'd be alive physically and spiritually by inviting you into their heart and then living for you. Now, as our heads are bowed, we're just going to pray a little sinner's prayer. It's that beginning point. Why don't we pray it all together? Dear Jesus, you know that I'm dead inside, and I can feel something's wrong. I just didn't know what to do. But I acknowledge that you died so that I can live. And I invite you to forgive me of my sins. And I purpose to live for you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand as